Tonight we're going to use our Bibles. Sort of a little Bible study type sermon. And so get your Bibles out, please, if you would. The first place we'll start is in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. I want you to follow me now with your Bibles. I'll do the best I can to wait on you so you can keep up. And I'm going to speak tonight on the subject, the hoax of Good Friday, and why our Lord was crucified on Wednesday. Now, there's a reason for the sermon, other than the fact that I want to get something off my chest, though I usually do that too. But there's a reason for the sermon. And you'll get, after I get through with the proving of the point, then I think you'll see the reason for the message. So, now, let me ask you a question. If you see it in the Bible, will you believe it? I told my class this morning, John Rice always telling about a fellow running for office, and he came to his campaign manager and said, guess what my opponent did? He said, what? He said, he called me a liar. He said, that's too bad. But said the politician, he did worse than that. He said, what did he do? He said, he proved it on me. And now I'm going to prove it on you tonight. I want you to follow up very carefully. And I want you to see it. I want you to actually see it in the Bible. And for your own self. Now look, Protestants, and I don't like the word, but I use it because you know what I mean. Protestants have as much tradition as Catholics do. And the fact that your denomination traditionally believes something does not give you one whit of right. There ought not to be anything that you believe unless it's in the Bible. What does the Bible teach? Now, I know that all over the country on the Friday before Easter, people have their Good Friday services and they start at noon. And they run the Good Friday services through 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and people say our Lord was crucified so many years ago, just at this time of the day and so forth, and it makes a very pretty thing, except it's not true. It is not true. Our Lord was crucified on Wednesday. He gave up the ghost at 3 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon. He was laid in the grave somewhere about 6 o'clock on Wednesday evening. He was in the grave Wednesday evening all day Thursday. Thursday evening, all day Friday, Friday evening and all day Saturday, and he rose from the grave on Sunday. But now bear in mind this, that the day started with the evening. Now listen carefully, no talking, now listen carefully, because I want you to get it. You say, well, boy, my church doesn't believe this. Well, I didn't give a hang what your church or mine believes. I want to know what the Bible believes. And if you don't, you're not a good Christian. You say, what does the Bible say? Now, in the Bible, it doesn't say the morning and the evening were the first day. It says the evening and the morning were the first day. For the Jewish day began with 6 o'clock in the evening, not as our day does, with the morning. And the evening and the morning were the first day. So, our Lord was in the grave 3 days and three nights. And I'll go into that after a while. But he was in 3 days. What days? Thursday, Friday, Saturday. What nights? Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Don't you see? And he came out of the grave, I think, about evening. Time on early Saturday, or early Sunday, pardon me, and he was found, the grave was empty on Sunday morning, and so forth. Now, I've given the premise, and I want to try to prove it on you, if you'll let me. Now then, let's look first at the matter of the 3 days and three nights. Now in the Bible, a day is usually, almost always, the light part of a 24 hours. The light part of the 24 hours. When it says 3 days, that means three periods, the light part. Now, there are other times, other meanings of the word day in the Bible, such as periods of time, like the day of the Lord, the day of calamity, the day of vengeance, the day of visitation, and so forth. But, normally, when the Lord speaks about a day, he speaks about the light time in the 24-hour cycle. Now look at Genesis chapter 1, and we'll be using a lot of verses tonight, a little unusual type message, but I think when we get to the end, you'll know why. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from darkness. And God called the light day. Now, when the Lord says a day, is he talking about 24-hour period? No, he called the what day? Tell me. Light day. And the darkness he called night. All right, the Lord speaks about a day. He's talking about the light part of the 24 hours, and the darkness he called night, that's the dark part of the 24 hours, and the evening and the morning were the first day. All right, so when our Lord says 3 days in the grave, does that mean parts of 3 days? No, it means 3 light periods. And he says 3 nights, it means 3 dark periods, you see, for the evening and the morning were the first complete day, the day that the light time he called day, the darkness he called night. Now turn, please, to the Gospel of John, chapter 11 and verse 9. Now, if you have a scope of your Bible, I'll be giving you page numbers along as I go. That is, if I beat you to it. The Gospel of John, chapter 11 and verse 9. That'll be about on page 1130. In your scope of your Bible. John 11 and verse 9. Jesus answered, "Are there not..." How many hours in the day? 12 hours in the day. Look at it again now. Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world." So, how many hours in a day, the Lord said? 12 hours. Now, we're assuming that the Lord is talking about 12 hours of light and 12 hours of darkness. Now, let's see. It is now, of course, it's summertime, and it's a bit different. And it won't be light, dark 12 hours tonight. But it'll average out about 12 hours of light and 12 hours of darkness. So, our Lord said, "Are there not 12 hours in the day?" Now turn back to Exodus chapter 13 and verse 21. Exodus 13 and verse 21, page 86 in your Scopio Bible. Exodus 13 and verse 21. Now don't leave me yet, because we're getting down to the fussing part after a while. I don't want you to miss the mean part. Exodus 13, 21. "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light," to go by day and night. So when the Lord says day, he does not mean the day and the night. He means the light part of the 24 hours. So if that be true, then, if the Lord said that Jonah was in the belly of the whale, or the whale's belly, and every time I read that scripture, I want to say Baal's belly. I don't know why. It just comes out that way. He was in the whale, the Baal's belly. But I usually get mixed up and say it right. But anyway, he was in the belly of the whale, or the fish, 3 days and 3 nights. All right. All right. Now, how many hours in a day? All right. Then let's take the doctor. Write down 12 here somewhere, would you? 12. All right. How many hours and how many days was he in the belly of the whale? 3. All right. 3 times 12 is how much? 36. All right. Now, if there are 12 hours in the day, how many hours in the night? 12. Wonderful. How brilliant you are. All right. And how many nights was he in the Baal's belly? The whale's belly. 3. All right. 3 times 12 is how much? 36. And 36 and 36 is how many hours? 72. All right. Now, in Matthew chapter 12, it says, "As Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights, even so must the Son of Man be" what? "In the heart of the earth." How long? 3 days and 3 nights. 3 days, 3 times 12, that's 36. 3 nights, 3 times 12, that's 36. 36 and 36 is 72. So how many hours, according to our Lord now? Our Lord said, "Are there not how many hours in the day?" 12. How many does that leave for the night? 12. All right, according to our Lord himself, how many hours was Jesus in the heart of the earth? Tell me. 72 hours. All right, now, take your pen. Dr. Billings, if you wouldn't help us out, anybody else wants to, you may. And let's get the Lord crucified Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock. All right? Now, how many hours would be left till midnight then? 9. All right, write 9 hours down. All right, then from midnight Friday night till midnight Saturday night is how many hours? 24. So add 24 to that. And he came out of the grave sometime during the night, Saturday night, didn't he? As the day began to dawn for the first day of the week. All right. Let's just say then, let's say 6 more hours then. All right. Now, how many hours do we have to have? Have you say it? 72. All right. Let's see how many you have. 39. All right. Then was the Lord crucified on Friday or not? Well, it couldn't have been. He couldn't have been. For Jesus said there are 12 hours in a day. And he said 3 days. And he said that leaves 12 hours in the night. And he said 3 nights. No, somebody said, "Yeah, but in the Bible, that means any part of a day is a whole day." No, in the Bible, it doesn't mean a whole day. And if it did, it also says 3 nights. Look, Let's suppose that he just meant any part of a day. When he said a day, it means any part of a day. All right, let's see what we can do here. Any part of a day. Then let's see. That'd be 3 nights we know, you see. It's got to be at least a whole day and a whole night, don't you see? It can't be 72 hours. Now, the first thing I want to establish is this, that our Lord could not have been crucified on Friday and given up the ghost on Friday afternoon and have been in the heart of the earth 72 hours. Now, if it had been 72 hours, it would have had to have been between 6 o'clock, if you buried 6 o'clock, 6 o'clock on Friday night, that'd be Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, you see, he would have to have come out of the grave, and he couldn't have come out of the grave on Sunday, and even been out at all on Sunday. But the Bible says in Matthew 28:1, that the day began to dawn towards the first day of the week when Mary Magdalene came to the sepulchre and found the grave empty, you see. All right, it could not have been. You say, if my church doesn't agree, then your church has got a hole in its head, because the Bible says 72 hours. Now, I don't mean a hole in its head about everything. Maybe it's you that have the hole in your head. I'm not sure. Or maybe it's both. Maybe that's where you got your hole in your head. It's from a preacher that has a hole in his head. I'm not sure. I suspect that's what happened. But tradition? No. Where did it come from? It came, look, when the Protestants withdrew from the Catholic Church back in the Middle Ages, they became children of the mother of harlots. That's what it means over in the Revelation chapter 17. It speaks about the mother of harlots and her children. And the children come out of a mother. Don't you see? So in the Catholic Church, in the Reformation, when the Protestants came out, they came out of the mother. That means they favor the mother. You see? Children favor their parents. You see? And they favor the mother. Now, though they protested, they still look like the mother. That's why Presbyterians sprinkle. They got it from their mother. Their mother sprinkled, and so when they pulled out, they changed a lot of things. They didn't change the sprinkling. That's why our Methodist friends sprinkle babies. Why? Well, because they got it from their mother. Their mother sprinkled babies, and they favor their mother. That's why Baptists, listen, that's why the church down here across the street, and I use the word church very loosely, but the across the street, what's the name of the place? All Saints. This is All Saints Baptist Church, by the way. But church over here, there are not two churches in this city that are as opposite as this one and that one across the street. And if we're not opposite, I'm going to work on getting opposite. You say, well, you're criticizing the Catholics. No, I'm not. I'm just declaring what we are. This church, listen, you walk in that church on a Sunday and walk in this church on a Sunday, and if there's anything there that reminds you of here, let me know and I'll change it. Why? We didn't come out of the Catholic Church. We're not Protestants. We're New Testament Christians that can trace our heritage back to the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thereby we don't favor her. Now, you see, how come Protestant churches have Good Friday? Because when they left the mother, they didn't leave that part. They favor the mother. But all of the tradition comes from the mother. I don't have time to go into it, but I think that's enough to make you sufficiently angry, and I'll go on to the next thought. Now, let me ask you a question. Did our Lord say, now, look, if I curse Jesus Christ, some of you folks will get madder at me tonight for what I just said about the All Saints Church than you will a fellow on the job tomorrow who will curse your God. You won't say a word about that. You'll get up and walk out of a service like this because sometimes because I say a word about a church like that. I mean a church not built on the Bible, a church not built on truth. And you know what you're true yourself. You know as well as I know they don't encourage you to teach the Bible. They teach you the history of the church and the church tradition, but they do not teach you the Bible, and you know it's the truth. You say, I don't like that. Then you figure out some way to lump it the best way you can. You hear we have no menus or curb service. We just dish it out, like I said last Sunday night, like the army did. We just get a big old spoon and plop it down, and you just hold your tray real tight and hope it doesn't fall down. But that's where you got it. That's where you got it. Now then, let me ask you a question. Not church tradition, the Bible. How many hours in a day? 12. How many days was Jesus in the grave? 3. How many hours then of daylight was he in the grave? 36. How many hours in the night then? 12. How many night hours was he in the grave then? 36. 36 and 36 is how much? 72. Then would you agree that according to the Bible, our Lord was in the heart of the earth 72 hours? Now I want to ask you a question. Do you believe the Bible? Now, whether you believe it or not is not the issue. Is that what the Bible says? If so, would you raise your hand, please? Well, if I want to see how many hands are up, how many hands are down. Okay, you're off to a good start. And the going gets rougher, so don't get mad yet. There's a lot left to get mad about. All right. Now then why the problem? Then why the problem? It looks like to me that anybody could see that. All right, now here's the problem. Turn to Luke 23:54. Now, don't leave me. Luke 23:54, and I'll show you why there's a problem. That's on page 1100. And 1111. 1111. Let's make it Luke 11:52-54. I mean Luke 23, I'm sorry. 52 through 54. Look at that. This man went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down. Now, this is the day our Lord was crucified. He took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. Which means the Sabbath was the day after the crucifixion. You see? Now, that throws a monkey wrench in it. Now, what day is the Sabbath? Saturday. And if the Sabbath is the day after the crucifixion, then what day would it normally seem that our Lord was crucified? Friday. And that's where you have the problem. All right. Now, if you would turn, please, to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 15, and the verse, I think, is 42. Yes, it is. Mark, chapter 15, page 1068. Mark, chapter 15, and verse 42. Page 1068, Mark 15, 42, here it is. Now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. Now back to verse 42. It was the day before the what? Sabbath. Now that's where your problem arises. There's no way in the world you can get 72 hours between Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock and Sunday morning. On the other hand, it very plainly says in Mark 15 and Luke 20, the crucifixion took place the day before the what? Sabbath. All right? So then some people said it had to be on Friday, and that's where your Good Friday comes from. Now, is there a contradiction? The answer is no, there is not a contradiction. There are two kinds of Sabbath. There are two kinds of Sabbath. There is the seventh-day Sabbath and the high-day Sabbath. Two different kinds of Sabbath. I want you to turn, please, to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23. Now, this is where I want you to stay right with me very carefully. Leviticus chapter 23. Now, in Leviticus 23, we have seven Sabbaths listed apart from the weekly Sabbath. Seven Sabbaths listed. I want you to notice now. Leviticus 23, page 157, look at verse 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a sabbatical and a blowing of trumpets and holy convocation. Now, how often did this Sabbath come around here? What month of the year? Say it. Seventh. What day of the month? First. So here is an annual Sabbath. Look down, if you would, please, to verse 32, Leviticus 23:32. And it shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and ye shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month at even, from even unto even, that's from 6 to 6, shall ye celebrate your Sabbath. Now, this is talking about the Sabbath of the Atonement. Look down, if you would, please, to verse 39. Also on the 15th day of the seventh month, that's the seventh month, the 15th day, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. Hey, sounds like to me the first day is a Sabbath sometimes, and the eighth day is a Sabbath sometimes. Now listen carefully, and I'll teach you something. In the 23rd chapter of Leviticus, there are seven Sabbaths listed. There is the Passover Sabbath on the first month, the 14th day. There is the Unleavened Bread Sabbath on the first month, the 15th day. There is the First Fruits Sabbath on the first month and the 17th day. There is the Pentecost Sabbath 50 days later. There is the Sabbath of the Trumpets in the 7th month, the Sabbath of Atonement in the 7th month, and also the Sabbath of the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, here are 7 different Sabbaths mentioned in Leviticus 23, and not a one of them have to do with the 7th day of the week. Now then, I ask you a question. How many type Sabbaths are there? One is the what Sabbath? Weekly Sabbath. Say it. The weekly. Say it again. The weekly. You're saying it weekly. I mean, say weekly. The weekly Sabbath. All right. Now, there was another Sabbath. These were called high Sabbaths or special Sabbaths. There are many of them. We found 7 here in Leviticus chapter 23. Right? Okay. Now, we have to figure out if that's the case, we have to figure out which kind of Sabbath it is after the crucifixion. Now, is it not true that the Lord was crucified before the Sabbath, right? Now, follow me. The Lord was crucified the day before the Sabbath, right? How many kinds of Sabbaths? 2, the weekly Sabbath and the high Sabbath. Okay, turn please to John 19, verse 31. And let's see if we can find out what kind of Sabbath it was at the day after the crucifixion. John 19, verse 31. Now, look at it. Everybody in the house, get you a Bible. If you don't have one, look on your neighbor. I want you to see. Somebody's going to go out and say, I just don't agree with old Hiles. No, you don't. It's the Bible you don't agree with. And it's the fact that you love your church more than you love God's Word. You love your denominational heritage more than you love the Word of God. Let's look and see. John 19, 31. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day. Now, read the next that parenthesis with me, please, out loud. Ready? For that Sabbath day was an high day. Ask a question. Was our Lord crucified then the day before the weekly Sabbath or the day before a high Sabbath? A high Sabbath. Then did it have to be on Friday? No, it didn't. It was not. Now, you want to know what Sabbath it was? I'm glad you asked me because I'm going to tell you what Sabbath it was. Look at John 19, verse 14. John 19 and verse 14. Now, I've lost it, but I'll find it here right quickly. John 19, here it is. What Sabbath was it? It could have been the trumpets. It could have been the Passover. It could have been the tabernacles. It could have been the atonement. But here it is, John 19, 14. And it was the preparation of the Passover. And about the 6th hour, and he saith unto the Jews, Behold, your king. All right, now what the Sabbath was it then? The Passover Sabbath. All right, which means our Lord was crucified the day before the Passover Sabbath, and not the weekly Sabbath. Now that takes care of the problem, doesn't it? People say, well, no, the Lord said the next day was a Sabbath day. But it plainly says in John 19:31 it was a high Sabbath. And it says in John 19:14 what Sabbath it was. It was the Passover Sabbath. So our Lord was crucified on Wednesday, and on Thursday was the Passover Sabbath. All right? Now let's go further. Look and by the way, don't leave me here. Look in Matthew 28 and verse 1. Matthew 28 and verse 1. And that's on page 1043. In the end of the Sabbath, is that the weekly Sabbath? No. As it began to dawn, I'm sorry, it was too. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. Now hold it, what Sabbath is that? A weekly Sabbath. All right, now, did we find out a while ago what Sabbath it was after he was crucified? Was it a high Sabbath or a weekly Sabbath? And the Sabbath before he was resurrected, was it a high Sabbath or a weekly Sabbath? Weekly Sabbath. So it was not the same Sabbath, was it? The Sabbath after his crucifixion was a high Sabbath. The Sabbath before his resurrection was a weekly Sabbath because it says the next day was the first day of the week. So he could not have been crucified on Friday because there are 2 Sabbath days that have got to get in here before he was resurrected. You follow me? You have to have a high Sabbath and a weekly Sabbath unless it could have fallen on the same day. and that's a possibility. But you can't get 72 hours between Friday afternoon and Sunday morning. So, now by the way, look here now, but here's something that's going to shoot holes in that. Look at verse 1 again of Matthew 28. In the end of the Sabbath, and that is a mistranslation. The word in the Greek is in the plural. And what it really says is in the end of the Sabbath. More than one Sabbath. In the end of the Sabbath. As it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. All right? So that means there was more than one Sabbath between our Lord's crucifixion and his resurrection, right? At least how many? Two. One was a high Sabbath, and one was a... You know, this is sort of like Wednesday night, isn't it? All of a sudden, I feel like it's Wednesday night. I don't know why. I didn't intend to go this way, but you look so dumb. I'm having to teach you a little carefully. And at least two Sabbaths. Because we know that John 19:31 says that the Sabbath following the crucifixion was a high Sabbath. And we know that the Sabbath before the resurrection was a weekly Sabbath. And we also know there had to be 72 hours. Now follow carefully. From the time that our Lord was laid in the tomb until the time he rose from the tomb, it was one constant Sabbath. Three Sabbaths in 3 days. Now follow me. The Passover Sabbath followed the death of Christ, right? All right. That means that the first night and the first day was Passover Sabbath. Now, on the 14th of the first month was Passover Sabbath, but on the 15th of the first month was the Sabbath of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Always was. The Jews began to eat the Passover, and that first day was the Sabbath. So our Lord, the first night, a full day, that night and day, he was in the grave, was the Passover Sabbath. That's on Thursday. The second was a Feast of Unleavened Bread Sabbath. That's on Friday. And the third was what Sabbath? I say it. Weekly Sabbath, which means that he was all 3 days and three nights, our Lord was in the grave, was Sabbath time. That's why Mary Magdalene came to the grave. It says, as the first day that began to dawn, after the Sabbath, more than one Sabbath, after the Sabbath. What Sabbath? Passover, following the Passover, was unleavened bread, and following unleavened bread was the weekly Sabbath. Now turn, please, to Colossians chapter 2, and I'll explain something to you there. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14, page 1264. Colossians 2, 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Now, whatever ordinance we're going to talk about is against us, right? And Christ blotted them out. Which was contrary to us, whatever he's going to talk about now, these are ordinances contrary to us. And took it out of the way, whatever ordinances these are, they're out of the way now. And nailing it to his cross, whatever ordinances he's going to talk about were nailed to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Now, what are they? Let no man therefore judge you in meat. Okay, is it okay to eat meat on Friday? Yeah. Is it okay to eat pork? Yeah. Walter McCarroll thinks it's not too good, but it's just not unscriptural. Is it okay to eat meat during Lenten season? Yeah. Is it okay to eat meat on Good Friday? Yes, sir. You could eat a pork chop at the Good Friday service and God wouldn't mind. Well, that'll chap your reverence on it. You take a ham sandwich and eat it at the altar on Good Friday and God wouldn't mind. You don't like that, do you? Well, then you can just figure out some way to get by. It'll be about 9:30 and then you can go home. I am saying... You say, well, I don't believe in eating meat on Friday. You say that, but God said it's okay. It was nailed to the cross. Christ made a show of it openly. He triumphed over it. He put it out of the way. He spoiled it. No good. Why? It was nailed to the cross. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, every Old Testament ritual was nailed to the cross. Every Old Testament ordinance was nailed to the cross. Let's go further. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day. Are of the new moon, are of the Sabbath days. Not just Sabbath day, Sabbath days. Because there are many Sabbath days. Now, why then was our Lord? Now, follow me very carefully now. Our Lord was, let me have three men. One, two, three here for the hand and Brother Biddings and Brother Peter. Just start, stand out here beside me to be fine. All right. Now I'm going to let Brother Hand here represent the Passover Sabbath. I'm going to let Dr. Biddings here represent the unleavened Sabbath, unleavened bread Sabbath. I'm going to let Brother Peter here represent the weekly Sabbath. All right. Now I am the Lord. And I'm going to get over here. And it is now Friday. I'm sorry, Wednesday. Here I go. It is now Wednesday. Hush. And it is now Wednesday. All right. Now, the Lord goes in the grave, and he's there during the what? Passover Sabbath. He's there doing what else? Feast of Unleavened Bread Sabbath. He's there doing what else? The weekly Sabbath. And then as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene, after the weekly Sabbath, she went to the open sepulchre. Our Lord was there doing all three. Now, why? Why was our Lord in the grave during three Sabbaths? Follow me carefully. The Passover Sabbath has to do with salvation. The shedding of the blood. As I said this morning, the blood on the doorpost and on the lintels. Our Lord nailed that to the cross. No longer need for a lamb to die. No longer need to slay a lamb. Why? Nobody's sin forgiven by a lamb being slain. No need for it. Why? The Lamb of God has already been slain. So our Lord nailed the Passover Sabbath. That's why we don't have Passover season. Why? Because the Passover represents salvation, and you don't need the lamb freshly slain all the time for salvation. Slain once and for all, and our Lord was nailed the Passover Sabbath to the cross, so that no longer can a man be salvation, of course, has always been by grace through faith, but no longer need for other sacrifices. All those nailed to the cross, our Lord took care of that. But let's come here to the unleavened bread sacrifice. The unleavened bread Sabbath. The unleavened bread Sabbath. What was that? That's the feasting. You're already saved now. Now you feast. Feast on what? You feast on the Word of God. So now, what do we feast on now? The Bible. Why? Unleavened bread Sabbath nailed to the cross. No worry about that. No more unleavened bread Sabbath. Why? Here's our feasting. You see? So, he died. He was in the grave on the first Sabbath, the Passover Sabbath, to say, Christ alone can save. No blood of a lamb or a goat anymore. The blood of Jesus Christ. But he was in the grave also on the unleavened bread Sabbath to say, here's what we feast on now. But he was also in the grave on the weekly Sabbath, because now then we don't serve on the Sabbath. We serve in the energy and power of the Holy Spirit every day of the week. So our Lord wanted to say, I'm in the grave 3 days and three nights. Why? Passover Sabbath. Salvation is of the Lord. Only one lamb now. Trust the Savior. Unleavened bread Sabbath. Why? Because we feast now on the Word of God, not a Passover lamb. And the weekly Sabbath. Why? Because our service now is in the energy of the Holy Spirit. So the Passover is nailed to the cross. And the unleavened bread is nailed to the cross. And the weekly Sabbath is nailed to the cross. And now then, we are saved by grace through faith in the cross of Christ. We feast upon the blessed Word of God and serve in the energy of the Holy Spirit. All the Sabbaths are nailed to the cross. Okay, thank you, fellas. So, he was in the grave Thursday, Passover Sabbath. Friday, unleavened bread Sabbath. Saturday, weekly Sabbath. Now, let me go back and go through these once again just a bit. Why? Now, this to me is interesting. All the time our Lord in the grave was Sabbath time. All the time. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Now, the first place, to take away the ritual from salvation. If you want to see something very interesting, and to show you our day, here it is. Turn to John 18, 28. John 18, 28. Page 1141, look at it very carefully. John 18, 28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas. Now, who's this leading Jesus? Soldiers. Wicked people. They're about to crucify Jesus. Now, are these people good people or bad people? These guys wear black hats, every one of them. And then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, Now, here's a crowd taking Jesus, but they didn't go to the judgment hall. Why? Lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Choir, let's do something. So the speaker, come here. I want you to be Jesus, and I'm going to be Pilate. Choir, I want you to be the mob that took him to Pilate's hall. You see, you look like a motley mob. I want you to be the mob that took him to Pilate's hall. All right? I hear you got him right here to Pilate's hall. Cry, crucify him. Real loud. Louder. Okay. Now then, come on to Pilate's hall. They said, no, we can't come into Pilate's hall. What you want me to do with Jesus?
Crucify.
What?
Crucify.
But now, come on into Pilate's hall. They said, no, we can't come into Pilate's hall. Look at verse 28 and you find out why. The last line. But they might eat the Passover. This motley crowd up here took our Lord to Pilate's hall, led him from Caiaphas. Crucify him, they cried. Crucify him, they cried. And yet the same crowd observed the Passover. And that, thank you. And that crowd still observes Good Friday. I drove last Good Friday right down the street to the wicked, vile, dirty, rotten, stinking, lewd tavern. Right down here across on Soul Street, diagonally across from the church here, or down on the corner of Soul Street. Last, that rotten hell hole that ought to be outlawed, and if we had a decent country, it would be. I've seen young girls, 16 and 17 years old, stumble out of that place on Saturday night as I drive home late on Saturday night, so drunk they couldn't find the way across the street. I've seen gray-haired old grandmothers stumbling across the street and fall in the gutter, and I've seen them vomit in the gutter. Ladies with white hair stumbling out of that place. I've seen wicked, vulgar, vile people by the thousands come out of that hell hole down the corner across the street. And yet last Good Friday, if I didn't drive by there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and see a sign out in front, closed, going to Good Friday services. 365, 4 days a year, they cry, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him, and close up on Good Friday and go to church. And that's exactly what that rotten crowd did 2,000 years ago. Crucifying. Now, what is our Lord doing being in the grave on the Passover Sabbath? He is telling us once and for all, you're not saved by going to a Good Friday service. You're not saved by going to a Mass. You're not saved by taking a Holy Eucharist. You're not saved by drinking some juice. You're not saved by confessing your sins to a priest. You're not saved by good works. You're not saved by communion. You're not saved by baptism. You're not saved by confirmation. It was all nailed to the cross. You're saved by the Christ of the cross. That's what our Lord was saying. That's not all. By the way, let me say this again. Tonight, if you're trusting anything less than what Jesus Christ did on that cross as your hope for heaven, you'll split hell wide open unless you get born again. It's not of works that I have done, simply to his cross I cling. It's not by works of righteousness, but by his mercy hath he saved us for the washing of regeneration. Why? He was in the grave on the Passover. He nailed it to his cross. No need for a lamb apart from the Lamb of God. There's also a second Passover, a second Sabbath. He was there for feasting. For feasting. Now bear in mind this. He nailed feast. He nailed Lenten season to the cross. As long as I'm pastor of this church, as long as I stand behind this pulpit, there'll never be a Lenten season. I have written one Lenten Hammond Times, and in that Lenten article, the subject was, there are no special seasons. It's worth serving God 40 days a year. It's worth serving God 365 days a year. Fellas, I'm going to give up beer during Lenten. Wonderful! Then make a 365-day Lenten. You'll have some sense. What am I saying? I am saying that the Lord said, I'll be in the grave on the unleavened feast, too, to let people know that's nailed to the cross. Here's what you feast on now. Now, the same crowd that observes most rigidly your Lenten season, your Ash, your Fat Tuesday, your Ash Thursday, Fat Tuesday? What? Ash Wednesday, Fat Tuesday. What is the Thursday? Huh? Monday. I don't want Monday, I want Thursday. Your Mardi Gras and all the rest of it. That same crowd that does that still feast on something besides the Bible. They don't tell you to read the Bible. In fact, you don't even take a Bible to church. Take a prayer book. Why? The same crowd that has the Passover not nailed to the cross has unleavened bread not nailed to the cross, and the same crowd that doesn't preach Christ is sufficient for salvation also says the Bible is not sufficient for feasting. Same crowd. Same crowd. Our folks have heard me tell the story. I tell it for you visitors. This fellow named Pat got converted. He was an Irishman. He got converted. And one day the father came by and found him reading his Bible. The father said, "What are you doing, Pat?" He said, "I'm reading the Bible. I got saved." And the father said, "Oh, that's good. But," he said, "you shouldn't read the Bible." He said, "I'm supposed to teach it to you. You don't read it. I read it and tell you what it says." But Pat said, "Father, I found over here in the Epistle of Peter that the Bible is the milk of the Word, and I'm to desire the sincere milk of the Word." And the father said, "Well, Pat, that's right." But he said, "It's sort of like a milkman." He said, "I bring the milk to you." And Pat said, "Yes, I've been drinking that milk. It didn't have much cream, that skim stuff." He said, "I decided to get my own cow, Father. And you can get your own cow, too." You see, now follow me. Our Lord said, "I'll be in the grave on Passover Sabbath." Why? The man's the cross. Christ alone can save. "I'll be in the grave on unleavened feast Sabbath." Why? The Bible is sufficient. All the others are nailed to the cross. And our Lord said, "I'll be in the grave on the weekly Sabbath." Why? Why? Because our Lord wanted to know that the weekly Sabbath is also nailed to the cross. Salvation, feasting, and service have all been changed. Salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, feasting on the Word of God, and serving in the energy of the Holy Spirit. Jesus substituted for all three. For all three. You see, there's a definite correlation between people that don't think Christ is enough, and that don't think the Bible is enough, and that don't think the Holy Spirit's enough. Now follow me. The same crowd that says Christ is not enough to save, you need extra help, says the Bible is not enough to feast on, you need extra help, also says the Holy Spirit's not enough to lead you, you need a pope. Same crowd. Why? Because the crowd that doesn't think Christ in the grave, doesn't think he nailed the Sabbath to the cross, he didn't nail any of the Sabbaths to the cross. And did you know what? Did you know, dear friends, some of you, if you decided to go ahead and get converted and believe the Bible instead of your church tradition, right now you feel like you feel so lonely? Oh, my. To get out under the canopy of that, of all that spooky stuff, I tell you what, I feel so lonely, and I'd feel like I'd drop dead. But you won't drop dead. There's a fella came to my office one week as a messenger, the telegram, to bring me a telegram, telegraph boy. He said, "Telegram, are you Reverend Jack Hiles?" I said, "I'm Brother Hiles." He said, "Telegram for you." And he gave it to me. I signed for it. He started to walk out. And I said, "Hold it." I said, "Wait a minute. Where do you go to church?" And he said, "I go to a certain Catholic church." And by the way, I've been preaching against the Catholic Church doctrine, not the people. I love the people. The doctrine for 25 years, and I haven't dropped dead once yet. Oh, I don't think I have. Once yet. You see. Heresy is heresy. I don't care where it's found. And so I said, "Why don't you come visit our church next Sunday?" And he said, "Oh, the Holy Father wouldn't let me." And before I knew it, I'd never said this before, and it was really a little crude. I said, "Oh, hogwash on the Holy Father." And he said, "What?" I said, "Hogwash on the Holy Father." And boy, his face turned pale. And he almost like a mechanical man walked out. Next Sunday morning in this church, in the old auditorium over here, invitation time came. Young fellow walked down the aisle to get saved. It was that same fellow. And I said, "Hey, you're the telegraph boy." He said, "That's right. I want to get saved." And he held up the altar, got saved. You know what? When he got up, I said, "Say, why did you come?" And he said, "When you hollered hogwash on the Holy Father, I fully expected you to drop dead." And he said, "I figured if you could say that and not drop dead, I could come to a Baptist church and not drop dead." You see? Now, I don't mean to be unkind. I can be unkind without meaning. But if Dr. Robert Denning stepped up and said, folks, I'm going to have a booth out here, come and confess your sin to me Saturday afternoon, I'd say, sit down, you're a hoax. Not the fact that a fellow's a Catholic. I'd do the same thing to Baptists that tried to enter to become what God is. And the truth of the matter is, I preach more against these Baptist bishops than I do these Catholic bishops. This super denominationalism, where the headquarters takes over the churches and tries to run the churches. You think, listen, back yonder, we had some problems here at this church several years ago. When I first came, pulled out of the American Baptist Convention because it's liberal. And the state man, I mean the big boy in the state, and his sidekick, number one, number two. The Lone Ranger and Tonto. They came the night we had our big blowout. I mean the night. And we had agreed that night, some of you folks remember that night. No matter how hard you try to forget, you can't forget it. And we had our big blowout. We stayed till 11:15. And you heard me tell this story. When I saw that big wig from down Indianapolis walk up here, I went over to him and I said, now you listen to me and you hear well. I said, it's none of your business what goes on at this church. And you're here to cause trouble. I know it and you know it. Now I said, if you as much as stand up and speak in our business meeting, we're going to take you four men, one with each leg and one with each arm, and pick you up and go one and two and three, and we're throwing you on your bottom on Sibley Street. Now, I said, if you don't believe me, you stand up and talk at our business meeting. And I said, to be honest with you, I hope you do it. He came. He sat back in the corner over there in the auditorium. This Baptist bishop sat back in the corner of the auditorium. We stayed there at 11:15. He not only didn't stand to say anything, when we stood to sing, he kept seated. He didn't even stand for the closing prayer. Because he knew he'd end up on Sibley Street. I'm not just against the Catholic bishops. I'm against Baptist bishops. I'm against anything that takes salvation away from Jesus. And I'm against anything that takes feasting away from just the Bible. And I'm against anything that takes service for God from anything from the Holy Spirit. For Jesus died on the cross and was in the grave 3 days and three nights. Three Sabbaths, so that he might nail to the cross all the Sabbaths. Salvation Sabbath, the feasting Sabbath, and the service Sabbath. And all those are nailed to the cross because he was in the grave during all that time, all of those Sabbaths. Now tonight, it's as simple as this. If you're not saved, you'll have to get saved by trusting the Christ of the cross and no other sacrifice. No Mass, no Passover, no church membership, no ordinance, no ritual, trusting Christ. If you are saved and you grow in grace, you're going to have to grow in grace, not because you go to church every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock. Not because somebody takes some ashes and makes a cross on the top of your forehead. If you grow in grace, you're going to grow in grace because you take this book and feast upon it. And if God blesses you in his service, he won't do it because you're commissioned by the headquarters. He'll do it because you're commissioned and blessed and led with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I get a lot of criticism of preaching like I preached tonight. A lot of it. And I plan to get some more of it. Because I aim to tell you the truth. Charles Spurgeon used to say, Martin Luther used to say, he said, once I thought the Pope was the vicar of God, and now I believe he's the vicar of hell. And I say amen, Martin Luther. When I saw that Pope back down to last July over in Rome, June or July, and everywhere there, I think it's June, last of June, we went into Vatican City and I saw them carrying that Pope like they used to carry the Raja of India. I saw them carrying him on their shoulders, and I saw that fellow dressed up in royal robes and people bowing and doing this and so forth to the Pope. I said to myself, he is standing in the place of where only one ought to be, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody's ever going to carry me in the service here. They may carry me out, but they won't carry me in. Why? Because that's his job. Nobody's going to kiss my toe. I've often said, I'd like to have I like to kiss the Pope's toe. Nobody else would ever kiss it unless they change toes. Just the thought of it makes me laugh. Now you say, you don't like the Pope. I'm not for anybody having them bow down and worship him. Christ alone deserves that kind of adoration. Don't you recall when Peter went to the house of Cornelius? They came to Peter and they bowed down and worshipped him. And Peter said, stand up, I myself also am a man. That's the first Pope talking. First Pope talking. First Pope also said one day, so came to Jesus and said, my mother-in-law is sick. Now, I'm not very smart, but I know this. I know nobody ever had a mother-in-law that didn't have a wife. Just sit still and take it now. Open your mouth wide. Just take it. See, you're interested in church tradition, not the Word of God. You're interested in what somebody taught you out of a prayer book, not what somebody showed you in the Bible. When Paul and Barnabas came to a certain place, where was it? Was it one of the towns, Derbe or Lystra or Iconium or Antioch of Pisidia? They came to bow down and worship them. They thought that Paul and Barnabas were gods. They called them Jupiter and Mercury. They bowed down and worshiped them, and Paul and Barnabas said, stand up! We're not gods! Anytime anybody says that they ought to be worshipped and or folks bow down and before them, he's in the place of Christ, and I'm going to warn folks about it. Anytime anybody says you've got to be saved by anything other than the finished work of Calvary, he's in the wrong place, and I'm going to talk to him about it. Anytime anybody says that you grow in grace and feast upon anything apart from the Word of God, he's putting something in front of the Word of God, and nothing should be in front of Christ, the Word of God, or the Holy Spirit. Nothing should be in front of Christ when it comes to salvation, the Word of God when it comes to our law and order and our feasting, and the Holy Spirit when it comes to our service for God. Now tonight, if you're trusting anything apart from Christ, if you've not been born again, you better get yourself on your face before God. Not a man, but God! Not a priest, but God!